So it's good to be back. It's good to be back with all of you. I've been gone for 2 weeks, and I heard really, really good things about each speaker. Richard Lopez, the chaplain of Arizona Wildcats, I heard he did an amazing job on talking about who's on your team. And I hope you implement that into your everyday life. Pastor Jack Scholl was here the week before that, and Pastor Jack pastors a church in inner Tucson, mid Tucson, Element City Church. And actually, Jack was coming off of sabbatical, so he had 6 weeks off, and he started out his ministry right here at Living Word Chapel. So I think that's pretty cool, and I hope you were blessed by that as well. And Sean and I, as I say, we were gone. Thank you for allowing us to do that. As we came back, maybe from the plane ride, maybe from going to New Mexico to all the baseball tournaments, my wife caught something, so she's battling something that she's fighting. And so I've been staying away from her, carrying a Lysol sprayer. But I also wanted to stay away from you. I'm not kidding you. I'm like germaphobe to the max, and I'm using Lysol for deodorant and everything else. So I have Lysol in the back. When I came out, I sprayed all the praise team. I said, you guys got to go through the wall of Lysol. So let's just be proactive. We're talking about baptisms today because next week we're going to have a baptism celebration at all three services, at the two services here in Oracle and the one in the Copper Corridor. And there's some tools that we offer you to help you to take the next step in your walk with Jesus. And these tools are vitally important. In fact, we've been handing out a bookmark. Any of you remember these bookmarks right here? It says Stay Connected, and it's got a text phone number right there, which is our text message app, 833-526-1854. With a black Sharpie, I put this on mine. Best tool that we have at LWC. It's the best tool that I, in the tenure that I've been here, almost 30 years, I see this is the best tool for people to stay connected. I've used it just to see how it operates. And when you do, there are encouraging Bible verses, text it to you. There's next steps. There's all the things that I think everybody needs. For example, if you're new to LWC, just put new and text it to this number. And you will get a weekly text message from yours truly, encouraging you, strengthening you, bringing the word of God to you, and helping you for one whole year. You're going to get that. And then if you text connect, it's a connect card. It'll take you right to the connect card, and you can, you know, online be able to do that. If you said yes to Jesus, again, you text I said yes to this number, and it will give you perfectly marked out steps for you to continue to go in. My baptism is a big one. So my baptism says I want to take the next step in baptism. And when you do that, again, it's going to lead you down a road where it's going to be very self-explanatory to help you in your faith. And that's what we're supposed to do. And then there's one for prayer. If you text prayer, it'll take you to our prayer line. And we pray for everything that comes in. Right now, we've been praying diligently. I have, especially for the fires that are surrounding our neighborhoods, not only in Willow Springs, but also in the Copper Corridor close to Kearney. There's been fires that have been really plaguing us. And we've been praying for rain, praying for God to touch our communities and keep us safe. Also, I don't know about you, but yesterday we heard the news about President Trump. He's campaigning. I don't care where you stand. We don't stand for people being assassinated or tried to assassinate. So I've been praying and standing with that. And there's always things that we should be praying for. Amen. And so this text app is, I believe, the best tool we have. And how many of you have a favorite tool in your toolbox? Just raise your hand if you have a favorite tool. Maybe it's the crescent, right? The crescent wrench, because you use the crescent. You don't even open them. You can go whatever size. You don't got to be safe. Is it 7/16? Is it, half inch? You just go. I was at Home Depot, and I was changing a faucet out in my bathroom, and I needed a tool because when you're changing a faucet and you have to get way behind the sink, and there's a special tool that they make. I'm the son of a plumber, and my grandfather was a plumber, and my brother is a plumber, and that's why I'm not a plumber, because everyone else became plumbers. And so I know that there's this special tool that you can buy. So I went to go get this tool, and I was there, and guess what? I was standing next to a plumber. He's a contractor, and he says, buy that one. And it was completely different than the one that I'm used to. The one that I'm used to has an arm. It's got a little thing that you can turn from the bottom, and it's got a little swivel on the thing that you can grab that nut and turn it. It makes it, you know, it just simplifies things. But he said, this one is better. I have all of my contractors use this tool. So it was this tool that did everything in it. You could grab the nut. You could take that little plastic one that holds that faucet. He said, you'll never need another thing again. So guess what? That's one of my favorite tools in my toolbox. Now check this out. This needs to be in your toolbox. It needs to be in the toolbox when you walk with the Lord. If you need prayer, you should be able to text right away and know that we're going to be praying for you. And God hears prayers, but God also moves when we pray. So that's one wonderful tool. The other on-ramp that you have, as we're thinking about baptisms, on your seat, there's a card that says, My Baptism. And it has a date, July 21st. It has you, if you want to do a hard copy instead of electronic, maybe you're the hard copy kind of person, you want to write things down, you can fill this out, take it to that back where it says new here, start here. There's a beautiful, wonderful attendant there who's going to love on you and take your card, and then we'll get you signed up for next week, because baptism is important not only to us, it's important to God. Since I've been the lead pastor, by the grace of God, we have been able, by His leading, we've baptized 522 people since I've been the lead pastor. And I think that has nothing to do with me, has everything to do with God. So I went on a two-week getaway, and we went to Arkansas, was in Rogers, Arkansas, and we had a retreat. We had people that came in from Puerto Rico, people that came in from Minnesota, people that came in from Colombia, from all different walks of life, different social classes, and we spoke to them for three nights, and I spoke on Saturday night, and I spoke about mental health. The struggle is real, and people that struggle with mental health, I did a series on that, so I just followed up on that over there, and God really moved in that place. And at the end of the retreat, there were three people that wanted to get baptized, one from Minnesota, one from, they're from Rogers, and another one from Rogers as well. So thank the Lord. People are always wanting to get baptized. It's a wonderful next step. And I have to believe that there are people in here today, in this service, there are people watching online that you've never taken that next step of being baptized. And not only being baptized, by being baptized the way that Jesus taught us to be baptized, because Jesus is our example. He's the example of how we should take that next step. And so I want us to go right now to Matthew's Gospel. If you got your Bible or your Bible app, go ahead and go there. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And I want to read that passage right there. What we're going to see is Jesus coming to this man named John. They called him John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. And Jesus comes and we're going to see the conversation that they had. I think it's going to speak to all of us as we read it. But John, let me give you a little bit of background. John the Baptist was the forerunner for the Messiah. He was chosen by God to prepare the way for the Messiah of Israel, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. And so John the Baptist was, he was a unique kind of person. He was the kind of person that for lunch he ate grasshoppers and locusts. So he'd go to In-N-Out and get a double-double locust burger, right? And so just one of those kind of people that you're like, man. And then he dressed, he had this camel hair cloth, and he wore these different kind of, just kind of unique, kind of weird. And you're probably looking at me and saying, kind of like you, and yeah, kind of like me, kind of dressed like that. And so he was just this unique individual. But God used him mightily. And he used them in that he would call people to get baptized, and thousands of people came from the children of Israel, from the Israelites, except for the religious leaders. The religious leaders had they had an offense with him. They didn't like him, and he would call them out. He would say to the religious leaders, he says, "You brood of vipers, or you sons of snakes." He said, you're whitewashed walls. You're keeping people from coming in, and you put up these rules that you don't even follow yourself. And don't think that you're going to come in just because you think you're children of Israel or children of Abraham. He said, you don't follow the things that Abraham said to follow. And so they had this difficulty with him, but everyone else, they loved him. And they all came to him to get baptized. Now, God had spoken to him and said, when the Messiah comes, you're going to recognize him. And when you do, there's going to be a dove that's going to come from heaven, and it's going to fall upon his head. And that's going to be the sign of the Holy Spirit being on him. And before we even get to the text, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming. He said, "This is him." And he said, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one that we've been waiting for," okay? Now, this is before we even get to the passage that I'm going to read. And then Jesus comes again, and let's read what happens, okay? Verse 13. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Someone tell your neighbor he took the initiative. I didn't even hear anybody. He took the initiative. He took the initiative. But John tried to talk him out of it. Now, if you have your outline, why don't you underline that? John tried to talk him out of it, because we're going to look at that deeper in a little bit. He said, "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me?" And Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. The literal is that we must do all to fulfill God's righteousness. Okay, we must do all things to fulfill God's righteousness is what the literal is. But we must do it because God requires this. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, and I want you to underline that as well. Jesus came up out of the water. That's important right there. The heavens were open, and he, being John, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on Jesus, on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." Say amen to God's word.
Amen.
That's beautiful. Amen. Amen. So this is about taking the plunge. This is about going and being immersed by baptism. And I'm going to talk to you about three things that I want you to consider. Let's talk on talking points, right? Three talking points that I want you to consider about maybe you considering to getting baptized yourself. The first thing is this, and I think it's probably the most important one, is that when it comes to taking the plunge, or for us saying, "This is my baptism," Jesus is our example. He is our example. When I think water baptism, and I think about the importance of water baptism, we must realize that it was very important to Jesus. It was so important that he sought out John the Baptist. He looked for him. He went to him. And there's two key things that I see that are vital. They're important. And there may be more as you unpack this Bible passage, but these are two things that I want you to also look at. The first thing is this. It was right before that Jesus started his public ministry. So before he ever went out and he was going to preach the good news to everybody, he was going to feed the hungry, He was going to cast out demons. He was going to even raise the dead. Before he did any of that, he went and got baptized. If that was important to Jesus, it probably should be important to us. Amen?
Yeah.
Before we go out and we start out doing our ministry, before God's called every one of you to do something for him. He wants for you to make a positive difference in your society, in your circle of influence. He wants you to do what only he can do through you. And what I see here is that before Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, before he ever did anything, he went and got baptized. The second thing is this. It was right before he would be led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Before he ever faced his adversary, he said, I need to get baptized. How many of you know we have an adversary? How many of you know that every week we have a fight? In fact, I would say every day we have a fight. Every day we have someone preventing us from becoming everything that God wants us to be. And isn't it amazing that Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, he went to John to get baptized. And then after that, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he did not eat. He fasted. And the devil tempted him every single day. And he came out of there with and through baptism. Now here's what I want you to know for sure. That every one of us, every Sunday, when you come to church, if you come to church, if you fellowship with people, the devil's waiting outside. In fact, I'm going to say this. For some of you, the devil's waiting inside. For some of you that your mind is being stirred and you're really struggling to even being able to focus, let me tell you, that's not God. It's not God that takes us away from being able to connect to what he's trying to speak to us today. The enemy is working, but do you notice that Jesus went and got baptized before he went and faced his enemy? And I'll tell you something, that because he did, it teaches me that I need that as well. I need to let the Lord be my example. Look what it says in verse 13. Let's read it again. Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And it says a lot about baptism. Jesus thought so much about it. And I have to believe this. I have to believe that Jesus did everything right on time. I have to believe that everything was orchestrated in his life. I believe that the baptism that he had by John was the right day, was the right hour, was the right minute, because God ordained it. Here's what I want you to consider. Do you think that maybe God is setting up your baptism for next Sunday so that he can start working in you and through you? So that he can begin to do what only he can do. Right? If there's someone who did not need to be baptized, it would be Jesus Christ. Say amen if you agree with that.
Yeah.
He didn't need to be baptized. He was the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. But he said, it should be done. For we must carry out all that God requires. And it was vital. It was vital because through baptism, Jesus exchanged his righteousness to identify with our unrighteousness. So you think, why did he get baptized? He identified with sinful man. He became like us. He humbled himself and became a man. Not only does he sympathize with you, he empathizes with you. When you say, God, you don't understand, Jesus says, yes, I do. I've been there. I've gone through what you're going through. I felt pain. I felt shame. I felt betrayal. I felt a head cold. I felt aches and things. Do you think he's ever got sick? You think he ever had got the stomach bug? Think about it. He identified with us in every manner of life. So that we could identify with his righteousness. And you'll never be able to identify with his righteousness without baptism. Are you with me? He exchanged his glory, right? So so that we could so that he could be filled with our shame. He exchanged his God fullness. He was a fullness of God and took on our humanness. And because of his example, every unworthy person from the four corners of the world would be able to identify with his worthiness. We're able to identify with his glory. When we baptize those two individuals there in Rogers, and we baptize the one that came from Minnesota, the one that came from Minnesota started in the Bible study in that retreat. He started in the Bible study. They do a Zoom Bible study. And he started out, and he came out of a dark place in his life. He was filled with all kinds of immorality. He lost his wife. He lost his family. He lost his vocation. And he was at a place of despair. And to hear his testimony talking about what Jesus has done in his life, he found the worthiness of God and gave him his unworthiness because Jesus did that for him. You see, beloved, that's what God does for every one of us when we believe in him. And when you believe in him, your next step is to get baptized. He's my example. I am a Christ follower. When you receive Jesus as your Lord, you follow his example. You want to do the things that he's called you to do. And we'll find out next week that baptism is actually a picture of our death, our resurrection, and our new life that we have in Christ. Now, here's the second thing that I want you to consider when you're thinking about taking the plunge. The second thing is this: don't let anyone talk you out of it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. Jesus went to the Jordan River to be baptized. The Bible says that John tried to talk him out of it. And I look at the context, and John had a good reason. John was looking at Jesus, and he knew that he was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He knew that he wasn't worthy to baptize Jesus. He said, "I'm not even worthy to untie your Birkenstocks. I'm not even worthy to untie your sandals. I'm not worthy." But Jesus tells him, "It has to be done. It has to be done." And here's what I want you to know, that when I came to faith 30 years ago, I was raised in a denomination where baptism was infant baptism. And so I grew up in that tradition. And remember, I was talking about the Pharisees, and they hated John the Baptist. The reason that they hated John the Baptist is because John the Baptist pushed up against their tradition. And he talked about the word of truth to them. And sometimes our tradition keeps us from following the steps that God has for us in our lives. So I had this tension that was going on in my life because there was a lot of traditions that I was raised with that went completely against what the Bible says. And so I had these voices in my ear all the time that said, "You don't have to do that, and you need to do this." And the more that I followed it, the more that I thought, well, that is not what the Bible says. When I became born again, I began to really heed the Word of God. And those voices became louder and louder and louder. And as those voices got louder and louder and louder, the Word of truth became more important and more important and more important. And so you need to know this, beloved, that you need to be careful that you don't let those voices that are in your ear talk you out of what God wants you to become. Amen. And not only do we have those voices that are in our ear from the outside, but we have voices that are in our head from the inside. And those voices in our head, they sometimes keep you from becoming everything that God wants you to become. And so I put down some unbiblical excuses that people use to not get baptized by immersion. And notice what I put by immersion. Immersion is being immersed. You go down into the water. The first excuse that I put down is that you might think, or you might say, or you might be hearing, I was baptized as an infant. Simply said, babies don't go and get baptized. They are taken to get baptized or christened. An infant is not making that decision. It is being made by someone old enough to know what they think it means. Say amen if you understand that. So there's some logic that goes with that principle. I mentioned that I was reared in a denomination where they would baptize infants. And there's a reason for that. If you look in history, it was because back in the mid-century, there was a lot of disease and people were dying young. And so they said, we need to baptize people as soon as we can because we do not want them to go into eternity without being baptized. So they took it upon themselves to do that. But then that became a tradition. But it's not biblical. And so as I began to read the word, I began to understand that it is my faith that leads me to take and take the steps necessary to be a follower of Jesus. And baptism is that very important step. In fact, the Bible backs it up. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to the apostles in Matthew chapter 28, he said this, I want you to go and make disciples. And as you make these disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You cannot make a disciple that does not know what they're being made. Are you with me? Does that make sense? And in order for you, in other words, when I'm speaking to you, you guys understand what I'm saying and you have a choice. You can say, I believe you, or I don't believe you. You're old enough to understand that. But I can point you to what the Word of God says. And it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Now, here's the thing. You can't teach someone something they're not going to understand. And so an infant, when you take an infant to get baptized, they don't understand what's happening. They don't know what they're doing. All they're thinking is, I want milk. Or something like that, right? Or hold me, or change me. And so when you make an excuse that I was baptized as an infant, I would tell you to reconsider that. You did not go as a baby to get baptized. You might have been taken as a baby. So I had to come with that. I had to come to that place in my walk with Jesus and say, Lord, I'm making a choice today at 26 years of age. Now that I gave my life to you, to follow what the Bible says and get baptized by immersion. But here's a second excuse that people make. I'm going to wait until I'm good enough. I'm going to wait until I'm good enough to get baptized. But let me tell you something. You're never going to be good enough. Baptism is not about you. It's about what he did for you. Baptism says I'm connecting with Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going into that. I'm becoming a part of that. Romans, and I'm going to talk about this next week in detail. Romans 6, verse 4 through 7. For we died and were buried with Christ by what? I can't hear you. By what? Baptism. Okay, so we die, we're buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live, I love how it says may live new lives. Because we can walk in the power of God or we can walk in the destruction of our flesh. Amen? We can walk in what Christ has done for us. He's given me that same Holy Spirit that empowered him to go and defeat the devil in the wilderness. I have him. He's with me. And I can live a new life. My new life started. And he says, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Someone say amen to that. We're not slaves to sin. Yeah, we're saints who sometimes sin. We're not sinners saved by grace. We're redeemed, sanctified saints who've been purchased by the blood of Christ. Who sometimes we sin, but guess what? We have an advocate. We can confess our sins to Jesus, and He's faithful to forgive us of all unrighteousness and restore us into that perfect standing that we have. It keeps on going. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Okay? That's the second excuse. I'll wait till I'm good enough. You'll never be good enough. If you haven't been baptized by immersion, I would suggest that you do that. Here's the third one. I was baptized a... Name the church. I was baptized a Baptist. I was baptized a Catholic. I'm just going things out. I'm not commanding any church. I was baptized a Mormon. Or someone might say, I was baptized into the Baptist church. I was baptized into the Catholic church. I was baptized into the Mormon church or whatever you want, whatever church you want to put, name any church, but I'm going to tell you something. I was baptized into Living Word Chapel. I was baptized a Living Word chaplain. Can I tell you that a church doesn't save you? Jesus does. You're not baptized into a church, you're baptized into Jesus. And you're baptized as part of the church. The ecclesia of God, the word we get. Iglesia in Spanish. How many of you know Spanish? Raise your hand if you know Spanish. What does iglesia mean? Church. It comes from the word ecclesia. You know what the word ecclesia means? Those who have been called out of the world for the purpose of following Christ. So the church is not a building. The church are a people. And so you're not baptized into a church, you're baptized into Christ. Look at what Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says. I love it. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all of you, and all who have been united with Christ, how? In baptism, have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. So how many of you like my wardrobe today? Go like this if you like it. If you don't, go like this and I'll change it next week. No, I'm serious. But if you like it, go like this.
Great.
All right, awesome. I'll wear it next week.
Don't want it?
I'll change it. I'll put khakis on. Right? We put on this new wardrobe, but our new wardrobe is what? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Your baptism is vital to your walk in your life. In fact, your baptism speaks volumes about how you think about God. A lot of times people don't get baptized because they're ashamed to get baptized. That public declaration when you're going to come before God. A lot of times we don't take those steps with God because we're kind of afraid what people are going to think about us. You ever been there? Let me tell you about me. It took me almost a year before I ever told my friends before Christ, the guys that I ran with, it took me almost a year before I told them that I was following Jesus. I was scared I was going to lose everybody. It was so foreign to them. And then something clicked. Something clicked, and what clicked is I began to learn He's worthy more than everybody around me. Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 10:33, He said, if anyone publicly denies me, I will openly deny him before the Father in heaven. And when we take the plunge in baptism, we openly display our obedience to God as well. Not for our salvation, but because of it. Water baptism is the greatest way for us to openly display that we are followers of Christ. That's why everybody went to John the Baptist. That's why everybody went to, when they went to John the Baptist, they were saying, we're repenting of who we used to be. We need God. That's why the disciples came to Jesus. That's why, you know, as they were being, as Jesus began baptizing individuals and his apostles baptized more than him, he had them baptized. People were saying, we're identifying with you. We're identifying with our need for God. Now, you need to know that baptism doesn't save us. Faith in Jesus saves us. But baptism is a public declaration of your faith in Jesus. Remember I talked about me? Let's go back to that first year of walking with the Lord when I had this tension. What are people going to think about me? And then I kind of had an epiphany and I said, I think it's more important what God thinks about me than what people think about me. I'm speaking to someone today. Because you're so worried about what people think about you instead of what God thinks about you. And you'll never become who God wants you to become being worried about what people think. You'll never be able to summit your faith walk without that. And here's the third point that I want you to take away. Okay? So the first one is Jesus is our example. The second point is that don't let anyone talk you out of it. And the third point is something special happens in heaven when you get baptized. In fact, I would say this: heaven will rejoice when you get baptized. On my trip to Arkansas. Someone messaged me on Messenger from our congregation, and they were really struggling with the Trinity. And they said, Pastor, can you explain the Trinity? And I said, the Trinity is very difficult to explain, but it's seen in the Scriptures everywhere. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, the what we're going to find right here in this passage is that you see the Trinity right here. You see the Son get baptized and he identifies with humanity, right? He told John, he says, we must do this to fulfill all God requires. So the Son of God, God in the flesh, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is revealed with the symbolism of the dove. And when I look at the symbolism of a dove, I think about the peace of God. So the Holy Spirit came and made himself present at the baptism. Amen? Do you see that? And you see the peace of God being present as well. And then the Father makes his presence known because he says, I am well pleased, right? So if we read the Scripture in real time after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the Son, the heavens were open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him, the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Godhead. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. So you see right there the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen? You see that? Now, there's so much to unpack. We could be here for another hour, but we're not. Three important things just from that little part right there. Three important things. The first one is this. Jesus came out of the water, which teaches us that Jesus was immersed. Every baptism in the Bible was by immersion. Check me on this. Of all the 522 baptisms that we've done here at Living Word Chapel, only one has not been by immersion. One. I was called by a brother in Christ who was on his deathbed. He had just given his life to the Lord. He had stage 4 cancer. His wife said he wants to get baptized. I said, I'll be right over. I went over there, I said, get water. And we got all the water we could get. And there we put towels behind him. And while they're on his deathbed, I was going to Immersed him as much as I could. But can I tell you something? Do you think that God was really saying, I can't believe you immersed him? He was saying, praise the Lord, he took a step of faith. Amen? Every person in the Bible was in the New Testament was baptized except for one that I read. There was one person that was not baptized. Guess why he wasn't baptized? He was on the cross next to Jesus. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom and in your glory. And Jesus says to him, I tell you today that you will be with me in paradise. And if he could have gotten off the cross and got baptized, he'd say, Romans, I need to get baptized. But they wouldn't let him. Are you with me? So this is important, that Jesus came up out of the water. The second thing that's important right there, heaven was opened up. I see a window of heaven open up. A voice from heaven spoke. When you get baptized, I believe that the heaven is opened up and God the Father is well pleased. The third thing that I see here is it's a time of celebration. Your baptism is one of the most exciting events in your life. Not only is there a window that is opened up in heaven, something really special happens. Because it's not a human action, it's a God action. You're being obedient to the things that God called you to do. And when that happens, let me tell you, not only is it a celebration here, it's a celebration in heaven. And when God celebrates, things are good. That's why we continue to baptize. That's why we'll baptize until the day that I'm not here. And I believe we keep baptizing. Amen? And in fact, that should not stop you. That you guys should always, those people that you're bringing to faith, those people that you're ushering them, what forbids or prevents you from leading them to baptize, to get baptized, to celebrate what God can do? I think a lot of times we minimize baptism. And if it wasn't important to God, then we should minimize it. But because it's very important to God, we should maximize it. Amen? You can start to play, praise team. Just background, please. Oh man, God is so good. I've been feeling and sensing that 2024 is going to be a year that we've never witnessed before with people coming to faith. I believe that the landscape that is upon us right now is a landscape of desperation in people's lives. Where they've been seeking for answers, but they can't find the answers that they need. The void and the holes that are in their hearts cannot be filled by no one else but God Himself. I have personally witnessed some people that I've been praying for, people that I ran with in my past, that people thought would never come to faith, that are coming to faith right now. In fact, next Sunday, for this Sunday that's coming up at the baptism, I'm going to baptize one of my close friends that I ran with. And we've been talking in the last 2 months, and I sent him a scripture every day. And he says, I want more. And he says, you know what? Since I've gave my life to Jesus, he says, I want to become to Jesus what I was to the devil. Living for him all these years. And now I want to live for Jesus Christ. And here's what I believe with all of my heart. And I could be wrong. I believe that as we go into the end of the year, that there's going to be people in your circle of influence that are going to be looking for answers. And you have the answer in Jesus. You have the answer in your testimony. You have the answer in what God's done in your life. Unless you believed in vain. Unless you minimize Jesus. But when you maximize Christ and you lift him up to his place of honor and glory, those people around you are going to notice that you're confident, that you're peaceful, and that Jesus is real. And so as we think about baptisms, maybe it's your time. Maybe next week, God is set it apart for you to be water baptized. So you can follow the example of Christ so that you will not be talked out of it by someone else, even your own mind. And so that we can celebrate it, but heaven will celebrate it as well. And let me tell you something, your 2024 will be something that it could never be without that act of obedience in Jesus Christ. Baptism does not save you, but it tells everybody, I'm saved through Jesus. So I would love for you to take up that card, put, I want to be baptized, or I would love for you to go on our text app and say, my baptism, and we'll get back to you. And let's fill this place with people getting baptized. Invite your friends and your neighbors and let them see the power, let them witness the power of the presence of God Almighty, because He's here right now. I feel His presence. I know He's working in your hearts. I know He's working in your lives because He's working in mine. So Father, we thank you, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the steps that you give us, Lord. This is a step. Baptism is a next step that you've given to us, Lord. It's an ordinance. It's something that you've ordained. And so I pray, Lord, for hearts to be stirred, for many people to take that step next Sunday and get baptized, Lord God. And we're going to give you all the glory and all the praise, Lord, for what you're doing. And we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. And all of God's people said amen, amen. And amen. Let's all stand up and worship our King.